All right, it's been a few weeks. We are back. There's been a bunch of mini news stories in the world of superheroes.
So we thought here at the Comic Bugle that we'd take a quick minute to address some of the cooler stories.
So Buglers, we have lots to chat about. Let's do this. Going to be a little more off the cuff, but we want to address three stories that hit us over the past few weeks. The first one is James Gunn. He wrote the new Suicide Squad, and now we're learning it's a reboot and he's going to direct, leaving Guardians of the Galaxy, which we've already talked about, to go on to this. What do you guys think of James Gunn? You know, politics aside, what do you think of him directing this film?
Well, you know what? I'm going to start first. I'm super excited. We know what James Gunn has done with some quirky characters, and that's what Suicide Squad is. A bunch of weird, crazy characters trying to become a team, doing something stupid, basically dying or almost dying, and, you know, saving the world. So what does that remind you of? That definitely reminds me of Guardians of the Galaxy. And so for me, I think I'm a little excited, kind of see where he's going to go. And, you know, Jay, as you say, it's a reboot. So it's going to be interesting as to who is going to be in this movie. Are they going to be going with similar characters as they did with the first one? Or, you know, like something a little bit different or something even more quirky, kind of like James Gunn. But that's my thoughts, my initial thoughts when I first heard it. I'm jazzed for it, but what about you, Darren? What do you think?
I almost wish, you know, in a perfect world, clearly he should have been the one to do Suicide Squad first, because he gets it. He gets what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to integrate comedy in these characters that not a lot of people, not everybody is familiar with. So you want to get them on board with them and fall in love with them and all that kind of stuff and bring them together seamlessly. As opposed to that train wreck that was Suicide Squad. I mean, I wish he had done it first.
That David Ayer film had glimpses of what could be great.
It did, for sure.
And then a whole lot of nothing and crappy villains and bad setups. I don't think we're going to get rid of Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
Nor should we.
Are we going to get rid of Will Smith as Deadshot? Are we not going to see him because they're rebooting?
He wasn't Floyd Lawton to me. He didn't give me that. He didn't give me that vibe of who he was. You know, yeah, there was that little cute little part about him and his daughter, but he wasn't Floyd Lawton to me. Like, it's almost like he didn't really care as much as, you know, as Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Right, there was other characters like Captain Boomerang, who I felt was more like Captain Boomerang from the comics. Right. Yeah. Will Smith, as great as he is, I don't think he was the right guy. But remember, Warner Brothers decided on these characters comparatively to where David Ayer didn't really pick his group. And I think James Gunn's going to have Warner Brothers' blessing to pick his group of people and who those actors are going to be.
If there's anything we're learning, let the director direct.
Yeah.
We saw Aquaman by James Wan. It has made worldwide over $1 billion, and he did what he believed was the best thing for Aquaman. Patty Jenkins, same thing for Wonder Woman. I think there should be less studio interference for James Gunn at this point.
Do you think that's why Suicide Squad went off the rails as badly as it did?
I think there was a lot of studio interruption, and that's why there's so many different tonal shifts in Ayer's Suicide Squad. You know, we had 7 different songs off the very beginning of that movie in the first 4 minutes to set up this rock and roll thing, and then right. It changes tone with the villain entirely.
No, I agree. Right. You have to remember too, that movie came out after the criticalness of Batman v Superman, right? So right. Warner Brothers had to act super quick They thought they needed to be a lot more fun, probably a lot more Marvel, which they shouldn't have. And I think, to be fair to David Ayer, he only had 6 weeks to write the script, which obviously not enough time. But like you're saying, there was too much of a tonal shift in different parts of that movie. There were parts that were great, and then it was just like your stupid, crappy villain who wants to take over the world or wants to do whatever they want. There's no sense of why the Suicide Squad was doing what they're doing, other than the fact that, hey, we're just a team now. Let's band together.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, and there was that one point near the end where, I forget what his name is, but the guy with the fire, he said, you know, I've lost one family, I'm not going to lose another. And it's like, you've been together for like 2 days. What exactly. Are you, your family?
There was nothing holding them together.
Yeah. Family, that's a strong word.
Yeah,
because they went to a bar together. Yes. That is why they're family now.
Clearly,
they had a drink together.
Yeah, that's all it takes. Hey, it's the new millennium, right? So
I'm personally excited about James Gunn at the helm. I like the idea of letting these directors make these pictures, and maybe for a little while, DC just needs to focus on their characters and getting them right. You know, we're all very excited for Shazam. I'd like to be that level of excited for a Suicide Squad.
And to be fair, when the first trailers came out, there was some excitement. The excitement didn't wane until we actually saw the movie and we're like,
all the best parts were in that trailer. And
exactly.
And the music and the music they picked was perfect. You're like, this is really going to be a great tone. You know, this is going to be exciting. It's going to be very different from what we expect.
Yeah.
Like, Jared Leto was like an afterthought in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Such an afterthought. It was like so shoehorned in.
Yeah. He's in, he's out. Like, make him
ridiculous.
The villain.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Up next, we got some massive news. Batman will happen without the Batfleck. So Matt Reeves is going to be directing a new trilogy, which I think I can speak for everybody. Super excited for Matt Reeves to do this. But what are your thoughts on Batfleck leaving the Batman cowl and cape?
Well, if I can just jump in real quick. I don't usually want to be first, but this one, I feel like I need to set the tone. Did you really buy Ben Affleck as Batman? Be honest. It's just the three of us here. Did you really feel it?
Just the three of us in the internet.
Yeah. Did you really feel it? I didn't really feel it.
I never loved him as Batman.
I loved
that Batman, that version of Batman, but I don't look at him and think Bruce. I never looked at him and was like, look, that movie was ridiculous. Okay.
Yes.
And he was the best part of that movie, but I don't look at Ben Affleck and see Batman.
No, never. From day one, when there was rumors about that, I was like, how? How is that? No, there's no way. And when I saw him on screen, I was like, nope, can't
but
do it.
But he's still the best part of that movie. I didn't see him as Bruce Wayne. I love the gritty Batman.
Yeah.
But that movie with that Batman, it was lost for me because, you know, he's killing people.
Right.
He has no sense of reason to take out Superman.
Yeah,
and that Martha line, like it was surrounded by ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't invest. But you know what? Us Marvel fanboys are like jumping hard over this. I can see Caesar on the Skype call being like,
frothing
at the
mouth.
Shit is going on.
He's frothing.
I almost walked out of this podcast, boys.
So come back, Caesar.
Let me begin by saying, when I first heard about Ben Affleck becoming Batman, and Jay, we talked about this. We were actually pretty excited. Don't you fucking lie.
At the beginning, I said, no, it'll be good.
Exactly.
It's good that he is here.
But one of the things, and I think he was a great, gritty Batman. One of the things, yeah, you're right. He was the best part about Batman v Superman. I didn't hate it as much as you guys did, but what I hated was...
Wait. The movie you didn't hate? Look, I understand your love for DC Knows No Bounds, but you have to admit that is one convoluted, bizarre, and bonkers movie.
It is convoluted. But I did enjoy the extended version over the cinematic version.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of plot holes.
I watched both. The extended, it fills in some plot holes,
it's my time to talk.
Too long.
Jay, it's my time to talk.
I'm sorry. I know. You're right. You're right.
So, so here's what I'm going to go at. He was a completely different character from Batman v Superman to Justice League, which I did not like. He became some kind of a pansy.
Yeah.
Batman. Second part is, I don't think he loved being Batman. And that was one of the biggest issues I had with him, was that he didn't, like, you look at some of the things that Marvel has done really good at, and you can talk about Henry Cavill. He loves being Superman. He loves the character. He's deep into it. Gal Gadot, same thing. Zachary Levi loves being Shazam. You look at Jason Momoa. He loves Aquaman.
Yeah, clearly.
But you never got that feeling from Ben Affleck. And I think that actually came through in his, you know, him portraying Batman or Bruce Wayne. I got the feeling that he was him. He was a perfect, you know, height, look to be what he was, but he never gave off what he would have or should have been as that character. And I think that came off in those movies. So I'm happy he's gone for that reason, is that I don't think he really loved the character. He's not a Henry Cavill guy who loves being Clark Kent and Superman, right? Who dies over that, you know, he dies to play him. He talks about wanting to do another Superman movie, right?
Right.
You never heard that from Batman or from no. from
There from ben are Affleck. Rumors that Cavill is out.
He recently just posted a picture with him and himself as Superman.
And which he is more jacked than Superman?
Freaking jacked, yeah.
Oh, really?
It's a great photo.
Yeah, and there are some rumors, right, that maybe he's coming back or that he never really left. But I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy.
But with the removal of Batfleck, we get a young Bruce Wayne story again.
Yes, and that's how DC, the cinematic universe, should have started. Not as an old Batman, where they can actually grow with the characters. Like to be fair, it was similar to what Marvel did. You grew with these guys, so like, you know, Batman v Superman, comparatively to Captain America Civil War,
yeah,
you had a sense of, we got to that place because of the journey that we went through with Iron Man.
Years with these characters.
Exactly.
Right.
You only got...
Darren, what were you going to say? You were going to like jump in there for a second.
Well,
sorry.
I was going to switch gears altogether, because my question isn't whether Ben Affleck should be back as Batman or whether we, you know, miss him or not. My question, as always, with everything Batman, do we need more? We need more Batman?
Yes, we do.
Why? The story has been done to death.
Oh my God. Darren, some of the greatest comic book stories are with Batman. I would love to see...
Really?
I would love to see Under the Red Hood as a live-action movie.
Sure. Okay. That's one, yes.
I would love to see... You love Titans. I would love to see an evolution from Dick Grayson moving into maybe a movie where there has been talk about a Nightwing. But that relationship between Batman and Dick Grayson would be fantastic to see. Also...
Well, they've tried that before, and they botched it brutally, right? This is my point, is they've done things already that have completely undermined them trying to do it properly. Sure. Now. That's my point. It's been done, it's been done, it's been done. I would much rather go and plunk down my $20 to watch a movie about Dick Grayson. When I saw him in Titans say F Batman, I was like, I am now Team Grayson. That was awesome. More of that. Give us more of that. Less of Batman.
Can you picture a DC universe, a film universe, without Batman?
Titans is doing just fine. Just fine.
But that's a TV show. I'm talking about the movie universe.
Let's find out. You can have him as they did in Titans, where he's somewhere. But he doesn't need to be the focus all the time. Mm-hmm. Let him do his... He's had his moment. Let him... fade away, for God's sake.
Don't forget, though, Darren, Batman is the bread and butter for Warner Brothers. He is. And
it was the first big, huge, like Batman 1989 changed film.
Yeah. Yep. I know.
So Warner Brothers will always come back to that cash cow.
I know. Whether they should or not, they will. I know.
Do you guys think the audience is ready, though, for a new Batman movie so soon? Like, I know we said that about the Nolan movies, but Batman Begins didn't get a lot of acclaim until later in its release. Like, that opening weekend, it did well, but people kind of forgot that, like, oh, it's Batman? We just saw Batman with Mr. Freeze. Like,
right.
Are we ready? Are audiences ready specifically to enjoy another Batman universe? And I will say, because it is Matt Reeves, they will be.
You think the general public is going to know enough about this stuff to say, hey, it's Matt Reeves, I'm going to go see that new Batman? Or are they going to go, you know what, after that train wreck I just saw 6 months ago, I'm not going anywhere near another Batman?
Time will tell. Yeah. I guess time will tell.
All right. Now I'm all pumped up and hyped up. I got to bring myself back down. Hey, the last thing we want to talk about, we got some brand new footage from the Super Bowl for the Avengers Endgame movie, and it was pretty cool. What'd you guys think?
Well, I'll jump in first, and I will say, I think there are some spaces. I remember when Infinity War trailer came out and we lost our damn minds.
Yes.
And we were so excited about, like, Hulk running with everybody.
Right.
I think there's some, I've watched the spot a number of times. I think there's some spots that have holes specifically for another character that they're just like, they photoshopped out of the scene, because when we see that, they will be there.
Oh my God. That's a great idea.
Right? I think Captain Marvel is probably in that Avengers portrait shot, because there's space right in the front there for someone to lead him to victory. And I think, boom, Captain Marvel.
Boy.
The other thing, and I don't know how many people are like Captain Marvel people, but the Rocket Raccoon scene where he opens the door,
yeah,
there's a bunch of lobster traps behind him. And Captain Marvel, in one of the newer books, it's like Boston or Maine, okay, is where she's from. So I think it makes sense that Rocket goes to recruit.
Well, first things first, let's talk about what you said off the top, is that you think that there's a space that they may have photoshopped somebody out in the trailer. That is brilliant. And if that is the case, I will give them all of my money. Because as we know, they have done that before, where they're so excited to show us, say, a Spider-Man in the trailers to get us all excited, that it blows the wad and you have nothing to get geared up for when you're actually in the movie. So maybe they have learned from that and they've changed their modus operandi going in, and they've done that. That would be brilliant if they did.
Because at the very beginning of it, you'll notice that all the characters are in black and white and red.
Yeah.
All those are characters who died.
Hmm. Oh my God, look at you paying attention.
Wow.
Well, because I saw Vision and I'm like, wait a minute, Vision had,
right, yeah, he's way dead. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like all the way gone. So, anyway, you know me. I'm excited for this movie. Caesar, we've monopolized a lot of time on this.
No.
What do you think?
You know what? Something very similar to what you said. I kind of look back at the original Infinity War trailers, where they had, you know, scenes when you actually see the movie, they actually had, you know, Thor with the Guardians, where they weren't in, you know, in the preview of the trailers. So, yeah, I do get that feeling that there's something there. What I loved about the fact, what we got out of that, those little tease, was that we didn't get anything, really. We got like
nothing.
We got, right, some sadness. We got some sadness, which is perfect. And you got some hopelessness. And then right at the end, you got that little faint glimmer of hope. And that's it. And I think that's the beauty of what Marvel does, is that it gives you just enough, but not enough for you to know what the hell is going on.
In this instance, because as I've said, in past scenarios, you know, when Hulk and Thor were fighting and we saw them in the trailer, it's like, that's awesome. However, it kind of blows the, you know, so they have, and Spider-Man again in Civil War, they kind of blew that one. So hopefully in this one, and this, it really does look like they are just giving us just a little bit, just a little taste, not too much. So we go in fresh. You want to go in fresh and have your mind effing blown. So hopefully
that's
what's
going to happen. Do you guys remember that moment in Infinity War when Thor bursts onto the battlefield with Groot and Rocket by his side and screams, "Bring me Thanos!" Okay, I leapt out of my seat with excitement because I didn't know that shit was coming.
Right.
Same with the Captain America reveal in Infinity War. They throw that spear and boom, catches and comes out. I was like, yes. You know, the Spider-Man reveal in Civil War, good for you for calling that out, Darren, because we had seen it over and over and over in those trailers. And I always say, if they had kept Hulk out of the Ragnarok trailers, shit, that would have been the greatest reveal in a theater ever.
Oh, yeah. We would have all peed ourselves with excitement.
Absolutely.
In the theater. Yeah.
No, you're right. One of the things I did catch, though, just a little aside from that, was did you guys notice that Rocket was in his old school comic uniform?
No, really?
I did not.
Yep. Jeez. He's wearing the little lapel, like, overall classic Rocket outfit from the comics.
So is this time travel, or what are we thinking?
I don't know. There has to be some way of going back in time. You know, one of the things, there's multiple theories of what's going on, and I've read a few of them, and I think that's a whole other podcast, a whole other episode is what we, before we get to Infinity War, before we see the movie.
Yeah.
I'm very nervous that I'm this excited. I'm nervous that I'm going to overhype myself.
Have the Russo brothers ever let you down?
Right?
Well, when I walked out of Civil War, I was like, yeah, that was good. Like, I wasn't blown away
but you weren't
until
disappointed.
My second or third viewing.
Yeah, you weren't disappointed, though. They don't disappoint you.
No, and Civil War, not Civil War, Winter Soldier is my favorite.
Yeah. Right.
And I definitely wasn't disappointed then. So,
yeah, so you're in good hands. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
You're right. You're right. We're in good hands.
Thanks for listening to the Comic Bugle. We'll be back again soon with more superhero news.
And as always, if you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe to the show. You can leave us a rating or a review wherever you get your podcast.
And don't forget to send us your thoughts on all of these news stories that we talked about today. You can reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram at The Comic Bugle.
I'm Darren.
I'm Caesar.
And I'm Jay. Thanks again for listening. And until our next big story, remember, not all heroes wear capes.